Shall we pray again? Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be able to realize you are present, to acknowledge it, to call upon your great and holy name, to know the hour in which you live, and to understand that which pertains to it. We pray, Lord, you'll be with us now in the study of your word concerning this very hour in your presence we speak of. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Very nice to see Brother and Sister Clausen with us tonight and everybody here. I want to read a few quotes here on the presence. Brother Brand said, "But look right at the end time before the burning and the destroying. The super sign appears mysteriously right on the scene again before us. Amen. God himself, not a man, but God made manifest a super sign, an everlasting sign, an eternal sign, a super sign, God manifest in the flesh. Same sign that his son did, his super son promised, the same at the end, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, the super sign will return." Now, you can't argue with that. That's the word of the prophet. "But just before the destroying of the world, the super sign must appear again. What is a super sign? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, after being dead for 2,000 years, still stands in the midst of us, the same as he did then, manifesting himself in his church in human flesh. But we find in the Bible that the last sign before the promised Son arrived, it was a super sign." Now notice how it correlates. And yet these are different. This is two quotes from super sign, and the other one, I guess, was from Melchizedek. But yet we find in the Bible that the last sign just before the promised Son arrived, it was a super sign. Jesus said, as it was then, before the promised Son arrived again, that super sign would come on earth again. "I declare to you tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's on earth now. Not only that, but it's right here among us tonight. The Holy Ghost, God's super sign, the resurrected Jesus Christ, it cannot fail. It's an eternal sign that can never be changed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that'll never change. It's an eternal, everlasting sign. God manifest in human flesh. God made himself known in human flesh." All right, now, I was thinking in my little thoughts, this day is this scripture fulfilled, and I was about to look into the sermon that Brother Branham preached in Jeffersonville, knowing that if we were right in our thinking, that he would have to have brought out something relative to this understanding of the presence. And, of course, there fell into my hands, in the mail is no doubt yours, this little tiny booklet where Brother Branham, in this day as this scripture fulfilled, speaks in the Phoenix Convention just before Dr. Reed was asked to speak. And so this fills it perfectly because it's what it's all about. So I'm going to take that word for word tonight and read it, and we'll maybe make a few comments on it. Now, you notice Brother Branham speaks of Dr. Reed, then weaves that in later concerning the doctor, his diagnosis, prescription at the end time. And then he also brings in concerning Bishop Stanley, a Roman Catholic priest, and parallels that to this hour, exactly what had taken place in the Omega, the Alpha, rather, time of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Now, Brother Branham says just a few nights ago, I was listening to the Baptist brother sitting over there, can't think of his name, Irvin. And he brought a card to me from, I believe it's his aunt, that's sitting here tonight. She has held that card for some 20 years. She was brought into the meeting dying with a disease that maybe the doctor could explain what it is, talking about Dr. Reed. It's something like leprosy, but it isn't leprosy. There's an operation. They could cut some kind of a cord up here, evidently pointing up toward the head, or something, but she would be like a plant. She would have to sit there. And while she was sitting there, perhaps her card, not called or anything, didn't get in the prayer line, the Holy Spirit directed me to her. And she is back there tonight as well, and we're very thankful for that. And Brother Shakarian says, Brother Branham, I think Howard Irvin is over there speaking to you, but I think I think his aunt is here. Maybe we can have her stand up. Would the aunt stand up and wave your hand, and wave your hand to the congregation? And she does. God bless you, my sister, for your gallant faith in the Son of God. May He keep you well until the time He calls you home, when this mortal will take on immortality. I'm so thankful for that, to think that she held that card for all these years now, and then was brought here to me and showed me tonight. You know, I was saying it's like bread upon the water. It returns to you when you try to do something for somebody else. Now, I have also had the privilege of meeting many of these fine ministers, and I certainly appreciate their fine fellowship, their cooperation. Brother Carl announced they'd be back next year, if the Lord is willing, and we are here on earth. And while I hope to meet every one of you here next year again, and each one bring another delegate with him and with her. Now, there is just one thing I'd like to say a little something about, maybe for just a moment, because Dr. Reed's about to speak next, and I've come all the way up here tonight. I've got 250 miles to make this trip to hear Dr. Reed. But Dr. Reed, I drive 1,000 miles to hear him. But something else, since I have been here, I drive 1,000 miles just to hear what I heard a little while ago, such a wonderful thing, something that flesh and blood cannot reveal. That's the Holy Spirit told the woman was wrong, and she was healed. Takes the Holy Spirit to do it, and to see someone who encouraged my life in such a way, and I certainly be grateful all the rest of my life. Then he talked later on of something else that happened, which is on the same line. What I wanted to say was, if I ever have to have an operation, to call a medical doctor, you can come to me, Dr. Reed, right away. I can trust the man to operate if I have to have an operation. Hands that believe in God, that would be the one I'd want working on me. I trust I'll never have to have it. But if I do, I would want him or a man like him to do the work if he couldn't be there. I had something to happen last night or yesterday afternoon, rather, that was really kind of strange to me. And I'll be brief because I don't want to take my brother's time as he is going to speak. But I suppose it's kind of complimentary to my ministry. I watch little things. Just every little thing has a meaning to me. I don't believe that anything happens to a Christian by chance. I believe it's ordained to God, because Jesus said he would make all things work together for good to them who loved him. So therefore, I believe that every little thing, the little humble ministry that he's given me to help you people, to help everyone, and you are a help to me, helping each other to get to glory, in that every little thing has a meaning to me. But it was hard for me to believe that yesterday afternoon when I lost my text up here. And that's about he couldn't find the place in John 16. I tell you, I never was so gotten to in my life. And then my wife gave me a Bible for Christmas, a new Bible. My old one was wore out. I had had it almost 20 years. It was given to me by the Houston Gospel Tabernacle people many years ago when I started out in campaigns. So I just cherish it so much, the leaves and pages in crossing the sea and around until they're just dropping out. And I pick up a page maybe in Genesis and have to look over in Deuteronomy somewhere to find it, you know, where I just stuck it back in the Bible. So she has got me one for Christmas. And I hated to lay the old book aside. It's been so dear to me. And I said, if I went down before Jesus comes, lay it on me, and let this go down with me. I'll come up with it when we come up. So then, that's my opinion anyhow. I used to tell a little story. Hope it's not sacrilegious. A man told me one time, I believe it was Brother Earl Prickett, a meeting in New York, I met a man. He said, say, what are you doing with these businessmen being a preacher? I said, I am a businessman. He said, what kind of business are you in? I said, assurance. Now, he thought I said insurance. You see, so I said, assurance. He said, oh, what kind of insurance do you sell? I said, eternal life. But I don't sell it. I'm just a policy holder, and I try to prescribe it to others. I remember a boy I went to school with one time. He was an insurance salesman. Now, insurance is all right, but I don't have any. Then, so he came to my house, and he said, Billy, I'd like to sell you some insurance. Said, I know your brother, from my brother's sales from Metropolitan. He said, well, I would like to sell you some insurance. I said, well, oh, Wilmer, thank you. He may be here tonight. His brother writes the articles for the Upper Room book. I said, I have assurance. He said, what? And my wife looked at me as if I was a hypocrite. So she said, Billy? And I said, yeah, I have assurance. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had insurance. And I said, no, I have assurance. And he caught me when I said then, so what did you say? I said, assurance. He said, what do you mean? I said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. He said, Billy, you know I appreciate that. That's a very good thing, but son, that will not put you out here in the graveyard. I said, but it'll get me out. I'm not afraid. I'm not bothered about getting in. It's getting out, see? So I think that's the way I feel about it. Last evening when I picked up that Bible, I couldn't find that text. I picked up that new Bible. I was reading out of the old, and I picked up the new one, put it under my arm, and run up here. And I turned to the place, and I thought, well, here I believe it was St. John 16:21, and it wasn't reading at all. I said to Brother Moore, is that where that's at? He said, yes. I looked back, and it wasn't there, so I thought, well, they got a misplaced page. They have a misplaced page in there. Then my brother came here, Brother Stanley. He came over, Bishop Stanley, rather. And I don't know what the man meant. It was such a comfort, though. He walked up close to my side, and he said, hold steady, brother. God is maybe going to do something. See? That's just encouraged me to think he would say that. I wonder if he realized he prophesied. But talking to him a few minutes ago, just before getting up here, I'm sure he did. So I brought it in my message upon birth pains and so forth, and my rude little way of doing it about the lily, and how it's born down and begotten, comes up, draws up the sun, dewdrop, and so forth, and then the corruption of what it has to be born out of, to come out of. And I was trying to make an illustration of the church. Just like the doctor here, if he went to treat a patient, we got doctors today that says you can rub your foot on the back to heal and heal the cancer in the face seat. But a good doctor wouldn't listen to such a thing as that. He treats the patient according to the book that he is reading on medical research. And that's the way I try to treat the patients. When I see the church sick, I don't try to tell them they need a new handshake or something, a new organization. I have to treat it according to the book that I know, see? So when I see the church looks like breaking out with measles, I want to take the very prescription I think is right for the measles to get it out of the church. When I see sin breaking out in it, it's the same way. I tried to make a comparison with Esau and Jacob and then bringing times down. I won't go into that. But bringing it down to the last part of my last scripture to use was comparing it not unscripturally, but as Jesus said it would be, what the main doctor said the condition of the church would be in these last days. So he talks, brings in Brother Reed that way. It would be a Laodicean, rich, blind, naked, poor church. And it would be compared with the days of Sodom. Now we know that's the truth. If you notice it historically, he brought in the days of Noah first and then the days of Sodom. And that's just the way it traveled, the same way. History has many times repeated itself. And as history does, so do promises of the Bible. For instance, like in Matthew 3 where it said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now if you run the reference on that, it was Jacob, his son. He called out of Egypt. That was his lesser son. But his great son Jesus was called out of Egypt too. He had a compound answer. So, seeing as they went along talking about that, then I brought my thoughts of that. And I walked out of the platform and went out. My children going home, My children going home wanted to stop out here somewhere to get a sandwich. I went in. The wife said, Billy, I was so nervous I didn't know what to do. She said, I gave you that Bible. I said, you never wrote it. And you never put it together, honey. She said, but just to think I gave you a Bible that has a flaw in it. I said, well, maybe it wasn't. So one of the children picked it up, and we would feel the pages. No, it looked all right, but right down at the bottom, it was two pages sticking together. See, the 16th chapter was on this side, and then the continuation of the 16th chapter came up on the other side, and the 17th started on, see, just perfectly, exactly the same across. And that real tape, That India paper, real thin, sticking together, I was reading out of the 17th chapter all the time instead of the 16th. And I thought, God, why did you do that? Why would there be such a thing now? That's me feeling, you know, to see what it was all about, because I think nothing happens by chance. And I was thinking how the comfort of this brother here coming and telling me, hold steady, him being a priest, hold steady, maybe God is going to do something or something in that manner. And I thought, how could that be? Now, of course, Brother Branham is speaking of sovereignty in the act of everything that happens to us, such as when he said, God knew how many times the fleet bat his eye. And, of course, people think that's pretty far-fetched, but that's not far-fetched at all. Then, sitting there like a thunderbolt out of heaven, it came to me. Now, this might not make sense to you, but it does to me. Now, here's where we're getting into what we're talking about, the presence. I remember in Luke, the 4th chapter, that Jesus entered the synagogue at Nazareth, where he was brought up, as was his custom, to go into the church on the synagogue on the Sabbath. And when he did, we noticed that the priest, now that's the priest of Israel. Now you had a Roman Catholic priest here. It's not the Roman Catholic so much as the the Chaldean, which really is the same thing because Bishop Stanley is vowed to bring the Protestants back to Rome, and he can't stand Brother Branham. He hates him. Now that's straight truth. all right. Jesus entered the synagogue at Nazareth, where he's brought up at, as his custom was to go to church or synagogue on the Sabbath. And when he did, we noticed that the priest gave him the Bible, the scroll. Jesus, looking through the scroll, found the place Isaiah 61. He read the scripture. Then he handed the Bible back to the minister. And then as he turned to the audience, all eyes was upon him. And he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." And we know how peculiar that scripture reading was, because he just took a portion of the first and second verses of Isaiah 61 and 2. But he read down this far, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, open the blind eyes, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he stopped. For the next was to bring in judgment that would apply to his second coming, not his first coming. Now don't get your wires all crossed up in there, because you'll be thinking right there that he's coming to bring judgment. Before he comes back to this earth, judgment's already fallen. The thing's been going on for 3.5 years. The purging of the church of Israel in the earth. So just watch what he's saying here, so you don't get all confused. Because this is where the fundamentalists in Pentecostal will never understand what we're talking about. There's no way they can do it. Because they can't apprehend it. See, they're too thoroughly steeped in their tradition. "For the next was to bring judgment that would apply to his second coming, not his first coming. And he stopped and turned around and said, 'This day, this scripture is fulfilled.'" I'm going to ask you a question. Was it? No. Wasn't fulfilled. Except in the potential. And because he was there to fulfill it, it was the goodest fulfilled. And what about the next one? How direct that was. Of course, there were people healed. But we're talking about that which lies in the 2,000 years that were coming. And what a statement. It was to the teachers and to the people that were present that he could make this plain to the people. "This day this scripture is fulfilled." For here he was the Messiah, yet they didn't believe it. Here he was the anointed one for that hour. Now notice, here he was. Here he was. Here he was. Not there he was. Here. See? Every bit of his ministry from his birth up had proved to be what he was, and yet they could not believe it. What a statement. But he could say today, all right, what you're looking at is a perfect parallel between the time of the book taken in Isaiah, handed by a priest to the one ordained to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled," and now, at the end time, when Christ is to come to the Gentiles, that's God, the Holy Spirit, performing the very ministry, you'll notice the exact parallel. Another prophet, because Brother Branham D was Son of Man, another prophet and another priest. And you notice that we all came out of the great harlot. All right. But he could say today. So he's talking about today now. And if a person opened up his eyes, he could have known what day he was living in, for that was his hour, for he was right there doing exactly what the scriptures, all the prophets, had said would happen in that day. Here he was doing exactly what God had prophesied would happen. How did they miss seeing it? They should have known right quick what his ministry was. There is the Messiah. They would have known it, because he said the scripture is fulfilled. Now, what about then the fact that they couldn't see, having been blinded, but we have the record of what transpired in their blindness, so we have no excuse knowing the description that if it ever came, what it would have to be. And I think of today. And notice what that was as the priest gave the word over. The word was read as he gave it over. See, the man. The word was read, handed back to the priest. The last quotation out of my text that I had and my scriptures written down was St. Luke 17:30, where Jesus, referring back to this day that we're living in, rich Laodicean age, yet rotten in politics, church politics, national politics, as rotten as it could be. And then he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming end time. Notice what he said there, in the day that the Son of Man will be revealed. See, in the days that the Son of Man will be revealed, I want to draw your attention. Now, he was revealed back in that day, and it says he would be revealed again. All right, see, he came in three names. He came as the Son of Man, which was prophet, and that's what he did. He proved his ministry by being a prophet. Now, you know, of course, that a prophet is not necessarily engaged all the time in just predicting events. There's a ministry that's vindicated that goes with it. We all know that. Every one of us knows it. He never said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of Man. Now, you'll notice in here that Brother Branham is now beginning to deal with the understanding of the proper appellation of the individual. See? Now, he's referring to the ministry that demands the right appellation. It has to have the right appellation because God is ministering. And how does he minister? He ministers according to the hour. And this, again, is where people do not understand. All they've got to do is read the Bible and they'll know that. But they're not about to make an application. They won't do it. That's why Jesus said you can discern the signs in the skies. You know right away what's going on. But the minute something begins to go on here in the spiritual realm that comes into manifestation that you've got a record already in Scripture, suddenly you black out. Very convenient. They think that blacking out, you know, is the old ostrich putting his head in the sand. Like if he doesn't know, then he's not obligated. If he pretends he doesn't know, then, of course, God doesn't hold you responsible. But that's not true. Because as Paul said, this was not done in a corner. Brother Branham said the same thing. Now, notice, he came in three names. He came as Son of Man, which was prophet. And that's what he did. He proved his ministry by being a prophet. We all know that. Every one of us knows it. He never said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of Man. Now, why? Because he's the Son of God according to resurrection. Now, today, he is the Son of God, which he returned back, and now he is in the form of the Holy Ghost, the unseen person, but yet God, the Son of God. Now, notice what he calls him. Prints him down as God. One manifest in flesh and one not manifest in flesh. That is the flesh of Jesus Christ. In the millennium, he sits upon the Father's throne, which will be Son of David. He revealed himself first as Son of Man, a prophet, this age, through the church age, as Son of God. And in the other age, Son of David. Three sons. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Okay. Now, but you notice here, he said, at the ending of the church age, it had got in such a mess till he would be revealed again as Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, how appropriate was that mix-up yesterday, and I hope you don't miss it. Okay, let's go back to Luke 17. And notice Brother Branham didn't take the time because he wasn't able to. Now, in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It'll come, but you won't even know it. It'll be there in its, according to its proper manifestations, but you won't recognize it. Now, Brother Branham said, the kingdom of God has certainly come when you have the perfect revelation of the word. Already said, by God's grace, we have that. Okay? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. In other words, if you don't recognize the presence and what is going on under your nose, there's no use you looking any further. There are people right today who claim to believe the prophet and now they got to run off to Israel. So many go over there and they come back so exhilarated because They think something's going on. I got news, you ain't nothing going on, far as I'm concerned. For Israel, yes. For me, nothing's going on. Everything is lined up right here because the sun sets in the west. See, before it goes back. Okay. His disciples said, and he said, disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. Now, this is not simply tricky language wherein you say, I don't understand chronology. I don't even know what Jesus was saying. I believe in hallelujah because I believe in the whole Word of God. Ain't nobody going to tell me because I am a believer. Yes, yes, I am. I don't understand this. Now, this is really mixed up. But, and it ain't what it sounds like. That I know, but I believe it. Now, that's exactly what you thought before Brother Branham came on the scene. I know because I thought that way myself. I just before the time. Let's be honest. All right, now, you'll desire to see it, and you'll not see it. And they shall say, see here, see there, going on after and to follow them, for as lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shines the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And right away, we put that down to the sudden coming of the Lord in tremendous glory and power with us, whap, getting rid of everybody. Now, but notice, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So he's telling you what this generation gets into, and therefore the generation that is looking for the days to come is not that generation. It's another generation. Now, people are smart. They'll understand the light is another generation. But they'll black out to the reappearing of the Son of Man. They don't even know what it's all about. They haven't got a clue. This is where it takes the prophet. Now it tells you when the days of the Son of Man will appear. And of course, right away they say, well, you see, that's him coming in glory, and that's this and that. Not that at all. Not that at all. It's Matthew 12. Well, the days of Noah to be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, were given in marriage until the day Noah in the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as was in the days of Noah, Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned to build it. But the same day the Lot went out of Sodom and rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It tells you a period of time is going on. This revelation will take a period of time and be thoroughly identified in Scripture. And it was thoroughly identified and manifested to be the same, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Putting a new understanding on Hebrews 13 and 8, which Pentecost thinks is Mark 16, and it's not. It's not. It has to do with the essentiality of God Himself. How God Himself does things. And He puts it right into the days of Noah and the days of Sodom. So that's where you got to go to see exactly what took place and is taking place at this hour. And this is what Brother Branham does, but they don't believe it. Now, he said, I hope you don't miss it. Now, the Son of Man, he categorically stated to be prophet. Now, God is his own prophet. Now, we have had the revelation of the Son of God, but the last promise that Abraham had before the Son was brought into existence, the one that he had been promised, before the promised Son showed up. God manifested himself. Now that's what he said. God manifested himself. That's why I read the quotes in the book. There at Sodom is a prophet, being a man in flesh, God, Elohim, as I heard someone speak it a while ago, which is the Godhead bodily, was in him. He was the fullness. Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why Jesus said, I am that I am. And remember, this is at the end of the acceptable day of the Lord, when he comforts those that mourn and brings judgment. So therefore, the Omega principle has already been in effect, and therefore, judgment has set in the earth. Now, and we notice here, Lot, when Abraham saw him coming, that's God coming, He said, my Lord. There were three of them, and down in Sodom, Lot saw two and said, my Lord's lack of revelation. So only the bride is going to understand oneness of the Godhead, what it really is. See, they'll only, look, come on. Let's go back to Acts that I've used just dozens and dozens of times. This is one of the greatest scriptures in the whole Bible when it comes to understanding this. It says right here in the 19th verse middle, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he, that Lord, shall send Jesus Christ. That Lord shall send Jesus Christ. So that's not Jesus Christ the Lord. See? People are all mixed up on Scripture. They can't tell Lord from Lord. That's right. Remember, God has both made him both Lord and Christ. Let's read it. That's got to be the... that must be the second chapter. Yeah. Wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has set forth this which you now see and hear. For it was not David that ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So the Lord said to my Lord, therefore the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and will still meet the Lord in the air. Which Lord comes down and which Lord stays there? They don't understand. I'm finished wasting my time. I am. The quicker we get through tapes out and just throw the whole thing in the garbage, the happier I'm going to be. You say, I'm not being hard now. It's just, I'm wasting my time. What am I to do? God himself couldn't do it. Just raise my voice and witness. Prophet couldn't do it. I don't have one sign. Okay. Lack of revelation. So notice what taken place down here. When he come up, how he made himself known. Could I not say this, if I had just been on my toe, see, the brother prophesied when he said to me what he did this day. Watch what he did right after reading that scripture. In the days when the Son of Man, not a man, not a human being, the Son of Man will reveal himself amongst the people again. Now they said, Brother Branham, somebody said you're the Son of Man. Are you the Son of Man? I thought the pillar of fire is the Son of Man. He said, no. He said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Spirit. So therefore, you had a man here, a prophet, in whom the Spirit of God was talking and moving and doing things that only God can do. Now, the Son of Man will reveal himself among his people again. Now remember, Israel's not his people. We are his people. They've been set aside. They got to wait their turn now. This day, this promise of this hour that we're now living in is fulfilled before our very eyes. The book handed by a priest to a man taking the book concerning the second portion of Isaiah 61. We've now entered a new phase. We've turned a corner. See, things are blending and are moving. This is where people don't understand my understanding of Elohim, the one who becomes. Like the pillar of fire, folding and enfolding and moving. Moving out, showing. He said, I'm judge, moving himself right back. I'm still your redeemer. I'm watching you. I'm caring for you. I'm guiding you. And Brother Branham said, the king himself is here. He said, I'm your king right here. Your kingdom is coming. He said, and he moves right back to take you on again. If you don't understand that, you're having a problem with what I'm saying. I don't want to ball anybody, but I know you're having problems. Let your thinking go. You see, I'm not brainwashing anybody. Look, I need a vacation so bad I'm ready to take one the next 2 years. But look, it's just time to know what I'm talking about. See? Now, the Son of Man revealed himself. This day, this promise of this hour that we're now living in. is fulfilled before our very eyes. Now, you wait a minute. We're going to get to some real meaty stuff as to what he says about this promise. He turned immediately to the congregation of 10 or 12, whatever people was out there, unknown. Didn't know numbers, see? He did the very thing he did at Sodom. This day has this scripture been manifest before you. It's been made true before you. Now, what did he say? I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declared to do and I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was only one standing there when he appeared. Pillar of fire. I'm not the one that performs these things, that foretells these things, that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one near that's near when he does it. That's the Son of Man. He's telling you. Being revealed. I was only a voice that he used to say it. Then the Lord descended with a shout, which is a message. He came down. See? The same prophet said he came up through a body. I ask you a question. Did he come up or did he come down? What's the difference? Brother Branham said, who knows what's up and who knows what's down? The point is he here? I say, he's been here for 2,000 years, yes, but not in this office. Not in this way. He hasn't been. See? I was the only one standing here in Hebrew. I'm not the one to perform these things, foretell these things, and so on. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seven church age messenger. Now, notice he identifies himself. But you see, he didn't say that. What he says right here, he said, it wasn't the seventh angel. And he's identified it. See? Another thing you'll have you flat, if you want to put it down then, that which came down, and Brother Branham said then was that great mighty one, that came down, was not the Lord Jesus Christ then. And he wasn't the messenger. Wasn't even his theophany, people try to tell you. One of the seven spirits before the throne. That's right, I believe what the prophet said. It wasn't the messenger, his message, it was the mystery God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail you, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word. Okay. Now, then my brother, sister, delegates, ministers, whatever we are, children of God, how close are we to his coming then? Doesn't say revealing and appearing. I said coming. If we're now seeing the scripture that he promised, just before the fire fell in Sodom to burn it up, and liken this day to it, and seeing that scripture right before our eyes be fulfilled, how close are we then to the coming of the Son of God? All right? Time after time I read it. I never get tired of reading it because this is one of my favorite portions. Now we say with reverence and love and respect, see, as the same as Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, and also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, in this last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that, back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down on the earth. I don't know. People can strive all they want. I just believe what the prophet said. How close is the manifestation of the scripture, like he did through Abraham, bringing the church up in type, which he was the promise to the church? I've been preaching the last little while, not having read this, maybe having read it years ago or heard it, but not this one, the other. I've been telling you that what we saw in type with Abraham is here now. That's what the prophet's saying. So my words are not foreign from the prophets. They're 100% the same as the prophets. How close is the manifestation of scriptures, like he did through Abraham, bringing the church up in type, which he was the promise to the church? He was the promise to the church. It was only a type back there. Now, Brother Branham said, God's Word gave a promise to the church, which was God Himself, super sign. You think the church believes that? Oh, it's already here, hallelujah. Glory to God and glory to God. See? Now we find out. Now remember, Elohim coming to the bride, not the bride going to the marriage supper. This is Lee Dale talking, not William Branham. Is the promise to the church. When we found in paradox a day of grace. And we're going and are in the promised land. We are in an era of absolute promise. And promise has nothing to do with works or your character or anything about you. Although you will have those things. But that's not it. It's going to be God. I hope you're understanding where I've stood all these years. And especially since 1977. And 7 years have gone by. So whatever that means, I don't know. I care less. But we're getting there. Now, but the royal seed of Abraham, which is by faith in the promised word, is now being manifested on the earth today. Now he's telling you the very promised royal seed that came in flesh is not here in flesh, but he's being manifested. He's right here. It's God. Because remember, I and my Father are one. We are at the end time. My brothers, sisters, we are at the end. Now, how many people believe that to be the literal revelation of the Scripture? Hardly a handful. Only the elect will see it. And we have not one other type. I have to type scriptures because I don't have an education enough to bring out words and things. I make a type. But if I see in the shadows, if I never had seen my hand and I saw its shadow, I know I have five fingers. And that's the way you have to watch the scripture types in the Old Testament. What does it do? It foreshadows this. And Jesus said that Sodom was the foreshadow of the end time now. And the very scriptures that was promised to Sodom, the very scriptures that was taking place at Sodom, that Jesus said would repeat itself again in this day, it's been made known right before us today. Now, what did he say? He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, Christ, the Messiah, was supposed to appear to Israel. He stood right there in the temple, and a priest gave him the scroll, which was not accidental. And he opened the book and he read in Isaiah 61. And he closed it in between. Let's go take a look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he sat down, he said, this scripture has been fulfilled. In other words, this is it. You've got 2,000 years. But what about the next announcement? The day of the vengeance of our God, and comfort those that mourn. Now, who's going to announce that? The same one that said this. So it's been said in the same city. And they say, well, William Branham, you take a lot upon yourself. Just because you got a great ministry. You've gone winging like everybody else does. Nobody can stand the power of God. Nobody. No. What about Paul? What about Moses? What about the rest of the prophets? A couple of these guys don't know the power of God. They don't know the things of God, the ways of God. Now here at the end time, in the juncture, in the turning of the corner, Elohim, judge, comes down and announces, proclaims the day of the vengeance of our God. Now look, at that time there's got to be earmarks or the man is a phony. Sodom. Everybody wants to talk about the terrible Sodom condition. Homosexuality. Rotten conditions. Let's talk about Abraham and God before the fire fell. Let's talk about some other things in there which they don't want to do. Now, he said those very scriptures in a perfect parallel have happened today. Therefore, the day of the vengeance of our God has been called, and the announcement to us who mourn, it's over. See, countdown, travail, world's falling apart. The Son is about to be born to us. Now remember, the promise was Elohim. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Now if the Lord Himself descends from heaven, and we meet the Lord in the air, then it is not the Lord Himself that we meet in the air. See where the emphasis is. So therefore there are two Lords. There are two Jesuses. The name is one. And I showed you, I've been preaching for years, and then brought you the paradox how we have come to Ephesians. And the simplicity bowls everybody over, the sign of the Messiah. Well, I don't think I like that sign about the woman at the well. Oh, there he goes again. Every time a woman's well, Why don't you shut up and get on with the good things? Like teaching our women how to have gifts, hallelujah, and short hair, and all the rest of that jumbo mumbo. You see where gifts take you? Not saying they're not right. Not saying they can't be genuine. To see where they take you? But I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God never changing. Can't do one thing with it. Because God stands behind it. But He gives gifts. So you want to play in church, mess up? Go ahead. You don't mess with this. Always state and form. All right. He said they would repeat. It's made known right before us today. God bless you. Don't miss it. Don't miss what? In your full gospel businessmen's meeting, here stands a priest who has vowed to bring the Protestants back to Rome. And can't stand William Branham. His own sister screams out the message, the message, the message. I wish I could quote the rest of it, but I've got it home. Giving witness to the fact of a message. That man standing right there and handing the book and said, just hold steady, something's fixing to happen. You bet it was. What was happening right there was a reenactment. The compounding of Scripture. I have brought my son out of Egypt. I have let my son stand in the synagogue and a priest hand him a book and pronounce the hour. I'm letting it happen again. Now you think people are going to believe that? They can believe what they want. I don't give a rip. See, that there's between me and some of you folks sitting here. You're with me. And the rest of these guys, that they can't figure. Well, they say they got to be crazy. What if what they got is a botch? Then I'm botched. I'm gone. See, aren't you alarmed? No. No. I'm come to the end of my wits, the end of my trade, the end of everything. If this isn't it, figure something out for yourself. I'm going to tell you something. The thief on Calvary's cross was looking at a dying man who couldn't save himself, who couldn't do one thing. And the thief did not see one thing. The thief did not hear one thing. And Jesus, and he said, simply because of God, said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The Seventh-day Adventists want to make it a Christian. Who do you think you are, jerk? You going to be in the paradise? Or are you going to be in paradise? Look, he said it. You'll be with me in paradise. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I feel the same way about where I stand. I don't have one concern anymore. It's all finished. You say, what do you call your faith? I call it the full assurance of faith that Abraham had. You call it what you want. You say, well, I'm calling it. You do what you want. I'm not saying you're going to have what I got. I'm not saying I'm going to have what you got. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you my testimony where I stand with this. They can't see it. We see it. Now he said, if I don't see you here next year, when they climb the golden stairs, I hope I'll meet you there. Doesn't say they climb the golden stairs next year. He said, when I don't see you here next year, I hope that I'll see you there. He said, Father, according to the Scripture, we're seeing manifested. You're praying. Before us, the last sign and type. The words of Jesus Christ said, this is so. Just as it was at Sodom, we see the world in its condition. We see the church in its condition. We see the elect being called out of every denomination. The life that's in those places moving out now to take the form of the seed. The form of what seed? The royal seed. We're going to get his form. Now, he told you how that the word, your body's quickened around that word. He said the word is like a wire. It's like a conduit. And when that word is there, then the Spirit of God moves in that word because it's the only place it'll move. So therefore, you receiving the Word of God, you immediately become heir to what the Word of God is doing in this hour. And it says when you see Him as He is, you're going to be like Him when the Son of Man reveals Himself. So we know we're at the end time. All right. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'll awaken quickly. As our brother said, he saw before his face, and when he had his eyes closed, masses going before him. Oh God, we feel that there are masses untouched yet. Help us, dear God. May we go from this convention with such a warming in our heart, knowing that this day the Scripture is fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen. He prays again. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring them into your presence. That's when he's praying for some people that were injured greatly. I just skip about two paragraphs there. There's a certain fellow's mother-in-law and father-in-law, and they're in a coma. Now, we bring them into your presence by prayer. What presence is that? Is that necessarily what we're talking about, that presence? No. That presence wherein the atonement and these things have held after we're gone even. There'll be people praying and getting results without a doubt. They won't even know it's all gone. We know that one night there was an apostle who was shut off from all activity then. He was in jail. He was going to be beheaded the next day. Down at John Mark's house, they had a prayer meeting. And right in those inner cells, there came that same pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel, or the children of Israel that followed it through the wilderness. Come right in. Because of that prayer meeting, opened every door and brought the apostle out in the street again, free to minister. We understand these ministers, missionary people, are bound in now. They're seen in a coma, even in the coma, Lord. You're the same yesterday, day, and forever. Here I pray tonight, O God. You said when you pray, believe what you receive. Ask for it, it'll be given you. Lord, we believe and pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll heal them for your glory. It's been said, it's been asked. Now let it be done. So, Brother Branham, in taking the one segment of many segments of this day, has this Scripture been fulfilled? It comes right to the point of what we're talking about. At the end time, there has been a promise given to the church, and the church is entirely unaware of it. That's why there was a John the Baptist come. And that's why there was a William Branham come. And the Scripture has always done that. And it's done it now. We stand with what the prophet brought us. I believe we stand 100%. I'm sure we do. We know that he is here. And that he is here to raise the dead. Because we're already in. We've been gathered unto him. The prophet defined that very carefully. That has already taken place. And remember the gathering in is 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, which follows 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to about 15 or so, and how many verses there are in the remainder of that chapter. And we have been gathered in. And this is our guarantee. We'll not be taken by the Antichrist. We won't even be here when he is finally revealed on this earth, because the promise to the church, without us knowing what it was, has been fulfilled. We've seen it. We believe it. We place it. And we're part of it. So therefore, as I said, the shout we're a part of, he's here at the head of the church to raise the dead. That's the next thing. So we wouldn't be surprised to see Brother Branham come out of the grave with his worn old tattered Bible. I don't know that it'd be worn old tattered Bible be there, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit, because what's the difference? I mean, goodness me. A man can come out of the grave immortal. He can bring his Bible with him. You know, let's face it. If he wants it, by that time he might not want it. I know. I don't just say he said that could be the will of the Lord. But he'll be here, and it's very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, cut the tapes off. The kindness given to us this hour, that every place we turn around, we see absolutely what has happened. The Lord Himself has descended from heaven with a shout and with the voice. And we know, Lord God, also with the trumpet, because You do all things in descending. We're grateful for that. For that means we're gathered together unto Thee, O God, which is certainly right. It dovetails 100% with what was said in Matthew, how I would have gathered You unto Myself by the prophets, by the word. And we thank You for it, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that now at the head of the church, giving You preeminence to get us back to Eden, there's going to be a resurrection. And in the resurrection, there's going to be a gathering to the wedding supper. Lord, we're so glad it's a promise. We're glad we're in a day of grace, in a promised land as never before. We're glad we're in Ephesians. We're right back to the beginning, where now it doesn't matter anymore, because it's come complete circle. And what was there has nothing to do with us anymore. We're right back to a perfection, the kingdom of God. And now we see the kingdom of God. We believe it. We see it. We understand it. And we're grateful, Lord, that the King of Kings is here. The Judge is here. All in all is here. The Great One. And in the incarnation, all the other titles that adhere to the glorification are going to be there too. And we with it. We are part of it all. Father, we thank You. And we realize that there many would disagree with us. And many would shout many things and put on many demonstrations to prove we're wrong. We stand here tonight in the faith which has been vindicated. And we believe it with all of our hearts. If we could believe it anymore, Lord, it's only because You put it in there. And Lord, if we believe it not as we should, then Lord, You help us. Because we look to You tonight as Abraham looked to You in the final moments of his old age, when He was incumbent upon him through Your promise to bring forth a promised son. We know that he and Sarah were literally in worse shape in the last minute than any other time in their lives as to bringing forth the Son. It could not be done, but You said it. And You are going to bring the dead out of the ground. You are going to change us. You are going to do it. You are going to do it, Lord. And You are going to take us up. And together, we are going to come back to the millennium. Same pillar of fire, as Your prophet said, going to lead us right in. Here we're going to be. What a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous thing it is. Realize it. Just as it was at that day, it comes again. No change. Hebrews 13:8, Lord. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We are so glad, Lord, that You have helped us with these things. Now be with us as we go. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us, Lord God. May we have rest and peace tonight. Give us strength coming together again. Sunday service, Lord. May we have a time of fellowship and worship in You as we see further, Lord, Your Spirit outlined in the book of Ephesians. Even as the prophet said, another Ephesus. Oh, praise God for that tonight. We cannot praise You enough, and known where it lies in the simplicity. Thoroughly brought Your attention, thoroughly explained, thoroughly manifested. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You with all of our hearts. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you.